You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com. Welcome to the Chris Spangle Show. I am your host, Chris Spangle. This is a podcast about life and the creative arts, and this is part of the We Are Libertarians Network. So please go to iTunes, rate and review this podcast. That's very important. It lets people know that we're here, and it also says, hey, this is a great podcast. One of the reasons that it is a great podcast is because of my lovely co-host, Emily Sweet. How are you doing?
Hi, Chris. I'm well. How are you?
We're going to spend a lot of time talking about the film that you are in the middle of making right now.
Yes, we are. Called Hold Your Breath.
Yes, and there's a website. Is there not?
Yes, www.holdyourbreathmovie.net.
All right. And can you introduce our guest today? Because I just met him 10 minutes ago. He seems like a nice fellow, but I don't know anything about him.
He's horrible. I'm just kidding. He's the best.
I'm out. I'm
He almost didn't make it on the podcast because he drank all your wine last night.
He sure did.
All the wine.
We bought more today. So
easily fixable problem.
Yeah, he's back in the group now.
Good.
So this is Cameron Gates. Cameron, take
Hello.
It away.
Hi.
Thank Welcome. You, Emily.
Cameron, what was your role in Hold Your Breath?
My role in Hold Your Breath was I was one of the two directors. Me and Tommy Weber co-directed it. And I also did all of the makeup and effects and all the little gore stuff that we had.
Okay. And when you say effects, was this a big Hollywood budget movie? Did you have all kinds of like laser beams shooting from the sky? Or?
There are zero laser beams in this movie. So this, when I say effects, I mean makeup effects in the sense of like blood or any sort of gore that this movie might have. Not like laser beams and stuff like that, which we always do in front of with a computer these days and all that sort of stuff. So yeah.
Okay. So this is how would you describe the movie then?
The movie it's a short, a thriller / horror, more of a thriller. It's about a girl who is taking a midnight swim in her pool, and it takes place over Halloween. She gets the scare of her life by a masked man. But it's not a damsel in distress, poor me, blonde girl in the pool. No. There's a lot of twists, a lot of turns, some mental aspects of it. It's so good.
Yeah, you and you have the bruises to prove it.
I sure do. Yeah.
So you have been planning this for how long?
I've had the story for a really long time, but I first came to Cameron with it in October, kind of like, this is what I'm doing. I don't even really remember, but
I remember you talked about you had the broad strokes, but at that point it was like you were still kind of getting it together, and it wasn't too specific. It was when we got to about December, that was where it's like there was a broad outline and you were trying to figure out sort of like where it should go and what it should be. And I knew you talked about what you wanted and what it was. And the thing that sort of stuck out to me was that you had that setup of blonde girl in a pool attacked, and you go back as far as to something like Buffy, and the fun thing is when that doesn't go the way you expect it to go. Mm-hmm. And so that was sort of the thing that we started playing around with, was like, this can't be what you expect. We have Hush. We have other movies that do that. What is this? And then we rolled around a million different ideas, some of which we're probably not going to talk about here, and
oh,
we
God.
Ended up with where we are.
Yes. So, even yeah. until maybe the... I mean, Cam and I... Because he lives in Portland, Oregon, and... So this was a long distance, you know, thing, I guess, is that we would call each other, talk for a couple hours, spit around some ideas, and then write it down, send it back to each other. I like this. I don't really like this. Send it back. And up until even maybe the last month, I think we changed the ending to what it is now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we had a completely different ending. And at first we had these two ending ideas that we were so attached to and did not want to let go.
Right.
And then one day we were like, we just got to cut that cord.
Yeah. Because it's where, like with many creative ideas, you start out with, here's kind of our beginning and here's our end, and we're going to figure out some cool stuff to do in the middle. And then we got all the cool stuff in the middle and we liked that so much more. And then we're like, the ending just felt like it was now tacked on. It was like, it wasn't the thing we had actually built. And Tommy, to his credit, read through what we had and was like, okay, this is great, but why are we here? You yeah. should be there. And we went, oh,
yeah.
Right.
So I remember I got off the phone with Cameron. I was like, I'm going to call Tommy real quick and kind of tell him all of our updates. And when I did, yeah, Tommy was like, well, I have a thought. What if this happens at the end? And I went, oh, Tommy, I got to call Cameron. Hold on. I got to call Cameron. I'll call you right back. Hang on.
Yep.
Yeah. Very good. So, very good. So how did you two actually meet?
We met on a film that we did at the end of, at the early fall, which people who've read or listened to your past podcast may know more about. It was, in a lot of ways, an complete disaster, and we didn't love the people making it. But
however,
a lot of the people on that group were amazing, and so we formed a very tight bond. Emily and I stayed close after that, and then sort of eventually led to this.
Right. So we are very thankful for that film, honestly, because not only did I get Cameron out of that film, our camera operator on Hold Your Breath and our sound boom operator came from Mount Adams too. They also live in... I said the name.
It's a, it,
oh, no.
People could have pieced it together.
They could have. I was leaving them like they had to do one step to find out.
I know.
Now they need no
I
steps.
Just gave it all away.
You were not supposed to say Mount Adams.
Damn it.
Sorry, guys. Well, anyway. So, I mean, I'm just so thankful, honestly. I really am thankful for that movie because a lot of us still are very close from that film. And like I said, Cameron, Jordan, and Tim, they all live in Portland and flew down. So very thankful. They're so talented.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So what is your background?
My original background is I went to school for computer animation. And it's funny, you guys have talked before about like the path to success and like what, how do you get to the thing? I had the weird thing where I succeeded at that, but then didn't actually like it as a day job.
Sure.
And so then it was like the sort of floundering towards what do I really want to do, since the thing that I was like, that's my target, I'm going to hit that, wasn't. And so I ended up working my way over to doing makeup. And right about that point, I had a short animated film that blew up and got me repped in LA. And so they're like, hey, come back and be an animation director. And I was very confused.
And that title is?
That title is, I call it Momentum. The official title, if you want to find it online, is A Tale of Momentum and Inertia. It just rolls right off the tongue.
It sounds sounds very nerdy.
It's less nerdy than that. Oh, that title. All right, here's the title.
Momentum. Yeah.
We call it Momentum. It's 1 minute long. It won't take up too much of your time.
It's fantastic. It really is the coolest. I'm not just saying that.
Sure.
Even before I really knew Cameron, he was like, oh, I did this thing, because he's super humble. I was like, I did this thing, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, I'll watch this thing. And I was like, this thing is so cool. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, I had gotten to the point where it was like, I had decided that success for me meant I want to enjoy what I'm doing, as sure. opposed to I want to hit a target of like, I am super successful. And so that's where makeup came in. I wanted to do jobs, go on fun adventures where you go off on set and you get to meet with all interact with all these crazy, interesting people, and then you come back and you have downtime.
Right.
And that is a great lifestyle, and I think it would be great. But then all of a sudden the director thing kind of came back in, because Momentum got me repped as that. And I was like, oh, well, now that little bug of like, maybe it's more important to build towards something than to be happy right now kind of came back in. And so sure. like, which success is the real success? And so I'm trying to do both. So yeah.
That's something that I struggle with constantly, is the struggle between this is where you're at, be happy in it, versus I'm not going to be happy until I reach my destination. Struggle with that all the time.
Right. Yeah.
So how did you, Emily?
Oh, no, I was just going to say that I think that's a good struggle to have. It always keeps your brain moving. It keeps you motivated. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's great if you are happy and you're content with that, but I always try to, okay, what's next?
Yeah,
like,
right.
This is what I want, so now, okay, how do I get there?
There's a strong sense that I'm just not going to be satisfied once I hit the target, and I'm going to, you know, what problems does that cause, you know, not being satisfied? But
right.
I think that if you're going to be a successful person, and if you look at successful people, they all have that. What's next? I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I've got to keep moving.
Right.
You know, that momentum.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, but it's also sort of that thing where it's like the crux that I came to when I had like my goal when I was a kid was I wanted to work for ILM. They did all the Star Wars movies. They did all the sort of special effects stuff. And it was like, but back then it was in the 80s. It was all practical. You built and sculpted Jabba the Hutt, and then you're out there as a puppeteer. You're hanging out with Carrie Fisher. This is great. This is great.
Yeah.
That's not the job anymore.
Yeah. But next thing you know, you're creating Jar Jar Binks.
Right.
So he did work on Star Wars. Don't
I did not touch Jar Jar. I did not. I worked on.
You're not under trial here.
No, My first job out of college was episode 2, Attack of the Clones. I did pretty much entirely robots shooting at Jedis. I did not touch Jar Jar or Yoda jumping around either. But that was the place I wanted to work, even though now it had become an office job in front of a computer.
Sure.
And so then it was like the sort of golden handcuffs of you're doing a job that you're getting paid well for,
mm-hmm.
and it's the thing you wanted. And so everybody's saying, oh my God, you're so successful. I saw your credit in a movie. And isn't that great? And there were a lot of times that it was like, there were good aspects to it. I don't regret that time, but I didn't like it as I did it.
Right.
And then figuring out where to go from there and realizing, and this kind of gets back to what you were talking about, if I'm always feeling kind of miserable because I have a million things that I need to do to hit this next level that I feel like I need to get to for success, when is it time to enjoy now and not be unhappy for a future success? And that was sort of what I struggled with that life.
Sure.
And so then makeup is very freeing because it's somebody else's show. I'm going to get to go on this great adventure. I'm going to get to go work with these cool people, do this cool thing. But This is their deal. Then that comes, you know, you get done, you have some downtime, you do it again. But I still have that bug to be successful in that other way.
The problem with creative work and working on other creative works is that it's not your creative work.
Exactly.
A lot of times is that you're mm-hmm. helping other people achieve your dream.
Right.
So at what point did you go, okay, I'm going to start chasing my own thing?
I would say it's really been refocused in the last year. So I had my representation probably 2.5 to 3 years ago, and they kind of didn't know about the makeup career. I mean, they knew about it, but they were like, well, that's clearly your day job, and you need to be pitching a million animated movies and get yourself attached to them and be directing that. And I was sure. Like, okay, sure. One, I like animation in the way we think of it when we were kids, or it's like I'll look at like 80s Amblin things like E.T. or Neverending Story or stuff like that. And I'd be like, look, Neverending Story, the horse dies. You know, like there's dark things that happen in these movies. Whereas animation now has become very G, and a lot of my ideas weren't quite G enough for that.
Ah, so, pervert,
I have a dark and twisted side to the stories I want to tell, which is why we just made this movie called Hold Your Breath.
Yeah, that's right.
but it was, yeah, it was like I couldn't quite get them. So then I'd be like, but I still want to do the makeup, and I didn't want to give this stuff up, and I kind of floundered, and my reps were a little bit disappointed with me, and my makeup career, I wasn't really pursuing that fully wholeheartedly because I was kind of like, well, I'm supposed to be doing this. And then kind of what you were saying, I was creatively involved in a few projects where I put in sort of heart and soul into visual design, makeup stuff, and then I didn't feel like they went anywhere that I felt like they could have gone.
Sure.
And so that problem of I'm a passenger on somebody else's ship, and I really think we should turn the wheel this way, mm-hmm. kind of came in. And
right.
It's their ship. And, you know, wherever it goes or doesn't go, that's their thing. But then I was like, I need to be in control of these things a bit more.
Right. So have you figured out what, at a certain point, you have to figure out what you're going to go pro at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, it's podcasting. This is the thing that I'm investing hundreds of hours over a course of a career to try and get really good at.
Right.
Have you figured out what that thing is yet?
For going pro fully, it's directing. Now, what I want, because I still go back and do animation just as a day job. A lot of us, you know, we have our day job while we're doing our thing. What I want is for makeup to be the day job until I can go pro at the other stuff.
Got it.
Because I still love it. I don't dislike it. I just know that, like, I will chafe if that is my final thing.
I'm going to brag. Tell them what makeup stuff you've done. Like, tell them about the scabs on the dog.
Yes, please. Tell us about the scabs on the dog.
I mean, mostly it's indie. This is where there's sort of the duality of going pro, where it's like I need my makeup career to get me a little bit out of indie so it pays better, for that to be the thing that pays the bills while I get the other thing going.
You mean indie independent or indie Indianapolis?
Independent. From when you live in Portland, Oregon, indie is only indie film, and it's usually not Indianapolis. but yeah, the Scabs and the Dog, they did a remake of Cabin Fever a couple years ago, and there's this dog. If you've seen the original or the latest one, this dog is infected by some virus, and its skin starts to fall off, and it's rabid, and it kills a couple people. And this dog sort of has to walk up to this girl, and she's got all this stuff on, and the dog has to have prosthetics. So you have to put prosthetics over a dog's fur so that it's bleeding and looks like you're seeing its muscle tissue and all this sort of stuff. What else have I don't know. It's like, it's all these just sort of kooky indie things that come through Portland, but it's like, you know, I'll do prosthetics where they're like, you know, furry. I turned somebody into a fawn one time. a lot of it will just be our lead actress needs to look pretty and this person got shot and is bleeding out and you can do that, right? And I'll be like, yeah, I can do that. We're fine. So,
so basically you're good at hurting things but not actually hurting
them. Right.
Okay.
Yes, things need to look horribly beat up but not actually hurt. But I mean, it's also like you have to do the full beauty end of the spectrum. Like I can do hair. I've done extensions and turned somebody who had the back of their head shaved into a princess for a book cover over through, you know, just people who are rotting and turned into zombies and all that stuff.
How did you learn to do all that?
A lot of it worked from my art background. So when I went through school for animation, I still had to have like basic art foundation.
Sure.
And a lot of it is still color theory. You just have to learn a new toolkit. But I went back to school. There's a program in Portland called Art of Makeup. And I went back through that to learn all of the tools that I needed. And so it was funny because me and a million girls, and they all knew the tools. And they're talking about like, oh yeah, I went to Sephora and I got this thing. And what do you think of this brand? And I'm like, I have no idea what was just said. but then they would get over into like, well, color theory. So it's like, if a zit is red, the opposite of red is green on the color wheel. And so what do you counter a zit with? Green. And I'm like, this is like such basic art school stuff. And they're like, what? You know, so it was interesting. Yeah.
So Cameron succeeded to make me both very pretty in Hold Your Breath and very terrifying all yes. at the same time. Oh, I can't wait for people to see it.
You look amazing and so crazy.
I saw
times.
A couple of snaps and you look real gross.
Yes, that was the goal. I was like, Cameron, make me as gross as you can.
This goes back to when we first met and it was like nothing really terribly bad happened to Emily on that film. And I just remember right. we would have these talks where she'd be like, Cameron, I just want to be bloody. I just want my face like covered in blood.
Yeah.
And now...
So, here's another thing too. So on that other film, you know, we're out in the woods. We don't have bathrooms to put our makeup on with. We're fighting for our lives. So I barely had no makeup on. I mean, I obviously had makeup on for
a bit,
film,
but yeah,
right. but not my usual whatever. No. And I was like, oh, fine, like fine, I understand. So yeah, and then nothing. Right. I mean, maybe I die, maybe I don't in that movie, but nothing too like gruesome, I guess, happens
right.
to me.
No.
When all these other people had these gruesome things happen, I'm like, oh, when's it going to be my turn?
That's true.
So this time I was like, Cameron, more blood. I need more blood.
Yeah. And that film was like, it's not a film that I would show for like my work on it, but it was really challenging because they didn't have the proper prep for doing effects and stuff like that. Like you can't put some things on at 40 degrees. They will freeze. You can't put things on at 100 degrees. They will melt, you know? And right. so it's like, there were times where it was in the dark, putting prosthetics on people on the top of a mountain with no heat, no electricity, no nothing. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, I should be getting a medal for this. This is not the way we should be treated. But,
I bet they
but nobody cared.
I bet they had some medals lying around.
Oh, shoot,
Chris. So when did you come up with the concept for this movie?
So here's the funny thing. I never liked, and this is shocking to people that know me, I've never liked horror, gory things until I moved to Indianapolis.
Right.
My uncle made me watch these things. Like, hey, let's watch a movie. And I didn't want to be like, oh, I'm too scared to watch that. So I would just watch it. And then soon became desensitized and soon was like, I love this. Like, this is amazing. So whenever I do something, I always like to put a little twist on it. Like a, what's the word? Like a, not... I'm losing my train of thought here. A weird, bizarre, kooky, gory twist.
Like
a dark twist.
A Shyamalan. What's that guy's name?
Oh yeah, you don't want to do the M. Night Shyamalan.
Henry twist.
Yes.
I would say more that you want your style is that we're going to go someplace dark.
Dark.
It's going to be
yes,
something.
That's right. the word I was looking for.
Which
a dark
is
place.
A lot of, especially because I was like, you know. We were actually talking about this earlier today because I have to deal with a lot of G movies and stuff like that. It's like when I talked to Emily, we were going to go to like these dark twisted places. I was like, yes, let's do it.
That's disgusting. And I love it.
Right.
The funny thing about that, like my impression of Emily is the bird's dresser in the morning and she's like the sweetest person alive. So what's in your head?
I was Cinderella-ing the floor the other night for
she
my
was.
Airbnb
she was
guest.
Good. Yeah. Just.
I was right on that floor scrubbing it on my hands and knees just like Cinderella.
Right. Right.
So anyway, I came up with this concept. I had gotten back from the movie and I had had this concept for a while.
By the way, I like we're back to pretending that we're not saying what that name is.
I'm trying to be professional.
If you don't remember what you heard 20 minutes ago, it's just the movie.
Yes, it's the movie. And it wasn't the best experience and I was kind of down about my acting because it wasn't how I wanted to portray my character or whatever. And so I had that thought in my brain and I was like, okay, it's now. Now is the time. I have right. the money to do it, you know, for the budget. I have these super talented people that I met on this movie that I know will absolutely smash it. And I knew that my aunt and uncle had a pool that they graciously lent us. And yeah, so that's...
But you lose your train of thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm drinking wine. So that, yeah. So I think it was after... I've had it for a while, but when I came back from Mount Adams, that's... Oh, shoot. The movie. That's when I decided this needs to happen now. Like, right. Now, this is the time.
Yeah. But when did you conceive of the actual script and story?
Oh, the story, again, I just had for a long time. I don't really even remember how it came to be, but I just sometimes, because I've wanted to be an actress my whole life, if I listen to songs, music videos will form in my head. If mm-hmm. I lay down at night and I read a horrible news story, I'll kind of take parts of that and make it into something else. And I just happened to have this story about this poor soul in a pool and, you know, whatever.
Right.
So then I had written... My original script was maybe 3 minutes long.
Right.
5 minutes. Short.
That's, I think, the first one I saw.
That's yeah. the first one I sent to Cameron. It was, here's my idea. What do you think? Like, I want to make this into something, you know, whatever. And he wrote back, I like it. And from there, it just went on and on and on.
And that was October.
I think around October.
We first started really digging into it. I think it was closer to December, but I knew you were working on it. Mm-hmm. But back in October, it was like I was just going to come on and do makeup. And then
right.
we got to sort of December, and it was like, so I've had this early version, but like there's no real blood in it. And it was sort of this thing where it was like we just sort of started talking almost using that first, you know, 3 minute version as right. the bookends. And then right. like what could we build in the middle? And now with what we have, the middle is what it is.
Yes.
And we threw away the end bookend.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's right. like it completely evolved, but it was like that structure I think you yeah. had at the start. And then it was that sort of thing where it's like I would wake up and like 3 a.m. and had some like weird dream, and it's like, so I'd send Emily a snap, and then the next morning she'd someone back and be like, that's great, but this, and then
right,
you know,
and then back
so.
And forth, right? And honestly, yeah. I could not be any happier. Oh my gosh, it's like I could cry. I can't, from looking through, because now Cameron and I are going through the footage and like kind of marking down what's usable, what's not, what we like, what we don't like. And everything I'm seeing, and Cameron said this too, it's like exactly what was in our heads.
That's great.
Not just my head, but yeah. also Cameron's head. Like,
right.
And I just am so happy and so thankful that everyone, I mean, seriously, everyone on that shoot was incredible. Like, they brought their A game.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I could not have asked for better people to work with. It was cold AF. Mm-hmm. It was cold.
You shot this April 20th, starting April 20th.
And yes. It's my fault. It's totally my fault. Right. I have no one to blame but myself.
And we decided to shoot something entirely in a pool starting April 20th.
At night.
And then the heater broke the first day in the pool.
And most pools are not, like, I went to my apartment complex to drop off rent, and I noticed the pool's not open yet. I mean,
no.
Most pools are not open because it's usually around 50 degrees at night.
Right. Yes. So, bless
it definitely
my
was down to 50.
Aunt and uncle, they did open their pool early for this. They usually open it because it's a heated pool, and
right.
it's usually nice in April. They did open it and they heated it. It was like 90, but
yeah.
the first night the heater did not work. And I remember I went to Cameron and I was like, I can't be like this the whole time. I just don't know what I'm going
right.
to do.
And if you can, anytime you plan out a shoot schedule for how you're going to film something, you put in time for like, and then a catastrophe happens and we have the space to fix it. So
right.
so basically by the time we got to the end of the first night, we couldn't put Emily back in the pool. We couldn't put Rachel, who's 17, into the pool.
In the pool. Our
yeah.
camera operator, she couldn't be in the pool. Like, because
right.
we had already been in the pool for a couple hours at that point.
Yeah.
And we were freezing, but we're like, you know what? It's our first night of filming. Like, it's fine.
Right. And to give people who don't know an idea, like, film days can go 10 to 12 hours. So it's like we were breaking for lunch when we were having this decision, which meant that Emily Jordan, who is our director of photography, other folks had been in the pool for about 5 hours at this
point. Oh, wow.
Right. So it's a long time to have been in that thing. And it was like, I did not begrudge anybody for being like, this is too cold. I was
yeah.
like, absolutely.
It was getting
you know?
To the point, yeah, that it was a little dangerous to have people in there for an extra 3 to 5, 6 hours. Like,
yeah.
who knows how long it would have
right.
taken
so our very first day of filming, we basically wrapped at lunch.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, I'm going to figure
right.
this out
it's
later.
It's like at 2 a.m. yeah.
yeah. Right.
Right. But fortunately, we had the buffer on the last day, so we were able to come back and do the stuff that we were meant to do on the first day with a heated pool with lovely steam and things like that. Yeah. And nice. Everybody not dying. And right. So, yeah.
So let's hop back to the very beginning. So you okay. two start working on the script. Mm-hmm. And when do you make the decision? Like, okay. Funding a movie.
Yes.
And actually going through with it, and yes. actually hiring people, and actually setting a schedule is a very... Most people never make it to that point because that's too intimidating. What is the mental gymnastics that you have to go through to break through that?
I was just... Honestly, this is going to sound really cheesy, and I get that, but I love this story so much. I love the story so much. The ideas that Cameron and I had, and then the ideas of Tommy also, I don't want to leave him out, they were, this is a fantastic film. Like, it's so cool. And all of our ideas that we were able to pull off because of Cameron and because of our gaffer who was able to build some things and whatever. I mean, yeah. this movie's fantastic. And so I had those ideas in the back of my head, and I just kept saying to myself, no, this people need to see this. This is something people need to see. It's so cool. I'm so proud of it. I'm excited about it. So that's really what drove me. And so then what really solidified it, I called Cam. I was like, okay, I'm going to buy the tickets.
Right.
I'm buying the tickets for everyone. Here we go. I'm gonna get them.
and something I'll definitely say that was one of the early reasons why I wanted to... One of the reasons I wanted to work with Emily as a creative partner is because we go to these weird, dark places, and yes. we're both like, yes, I'm glad we're here, as opposed to like, where? What? Where are you? Good Lord, come back. Right. But the other thing is that, like, there are plenty of people that you work with who do exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You just have a lot of beers and talk about how it'll be amazing that we're going to do a thing, and then nobody does anything.
The specific question I'm asking is, how do you conquer the fear?
Because I've done that my whole life. I think the last time we talked about the circus, I was terrified of heights when I joined the circus as a tightrope walker. I didn't tell them that because I knew I wouldn't get the job. It's just something you have to do. I always think about, in the end, it will be fine. I always try to think, this is... Okay, let me start over. I'm sorry. I always overcome things by thinking the end result. This is what is going to come from this. Do not let anything stop you. And then you're going to have this fantastic thing. So the circus, it was, number one, you're going to cure your fear of heights. Number two, you're going to have these amazing stories, meet these amazing people, you know, and I did, and I don't regret that at all. And that was the same thing here. It's like, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of faith in people, you know what I mean? That they come through, that they pull through. It's terrifying, but I kind of like that terrifying aspect yeah. of it, of this, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Are we actually going to be able to pull this off? I don't know. Oh my goodness. But it drives you.
Yeah.
I love it.
A trick that I use for myself is before, when it's still far enough off that it's not fully terrifying yet, you make it something you can't back out of.
Yeah.
You buy the ticket, yes. you take the gig,
exactly.
and then use your pure terror to make it everything it has to be, mm-hmm. because now exactly. you can't escape, you know?
Yeah, so true. Thank yeah. you.
The reality is that most people get stopped by the fear. And I think that if you're the creative people are special because usually they had chaotic childhoods or chaotic teenage years. And I think that that instills in people psychologically a comfort with chaos, a comfort with discomfort. And you've been afraid your whole life, and so therefore you're able to get past that fear. And I've noticed over the last 15 years that when I've gotten up in front of a crowd to speak, whether it's, I mean, a crowd of 1,000 people is as terrifying as a crowd of 5 people, because right. in a room of 5 people, they're this close to you. They're 5 feet from you. They're right. staring at you. Eyes. And it's yeah. much, much different than a larger crowd. But at every point when I get up and I stand up and I'm ready to perform and I'm ready to step up on stage, or we're doing a live show for We Are Libertarians, that fear, the closest that I can, if you've ever done karaoke and you're walking up to the stage and you feel that rush of terror that you're going yeah. to be judged and that you're going to fail, that becomes addictive. And that is something that I think a lot of creative people have to, it's why people are creative or they're not. Most people are creative. They just never get past that moment of fear and never let that drive you. If I'm doing karaoke and I am terrified to step up on stage, as I always am, every time I stand up to give a speech, I'm terrified. I hate public speaking because I dwell on it for days. I overthink it. I get up and I just use that fear, and it becomes proof of performance. Mm-hmm. It becomes one of those things that I did it last time, and so I can do it again.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so you have confidence. Confidence, for most people, is arrogance in their mind. It's Kanye West. But confidence is proven performance. It's that, you know, I can do it because I did it last time. And so for you, getting up on a tightrope and going, I did that. I can do this.
Right.
You know, taking those little chances. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Willendas was not a little chance, but
right. Well, also another thing. So I know that I can do this. Like, I knew I could do this. Whether people were like, oh, cute, you're making a movie, or right. You know what I mean? Whatever. I knew what it was going to be. I had right. the vision. I knew with the talents of everyone else that I could do it. Also, I knew what Cameron could do from just working with him prior on the other movie, just like makeup wise and effects wise and whatever. But so also, Cameron's the kind of person that he and I have had this conversation before where people will, again, at a bar, say things and then they right. won't follow through.
Right.
So I remember after Mount Adams, Halloween's my favorite holiday. This movie takes place over Halloween. Mm-hmm. I was like, Cam, want to go somewhere for Halloween? It's my favorite holiday. He was like, sure. And I was like, oh, well, he's probably just as sure. But then he was like, yeah, well, where do you want to go? And I was right. like, want to go? We figured out wherever we were going to go. And yeah. then we went. Like, Cameron's someone who is also follow throughs on what he says. And
right.
in order to do a movie like this, you need someone like that on board.
Yeah, you right. can't if people are going to flake. Yeah, and yeah, I think you do sort of lock onto those people early on and realize, oh, they said this thing and then this thing happened. Oh, that's interesting.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And getting back to what you're talking about with like creativity and stuff like that, I think there's another thing where it's like, people, we spend a lot of time during education looking for the right answer, which for a lot of professions might be great. What you're trying to do is have the right answer, and then somebody says, you're right. This is the right answer. You get an A. And you get that, and it sort of kind of comes into almost like the reality shows, like the judging thing. Like, I think I'm really talented at singing. We're going to put you up in 5 judges, and they're going to tell you if you're good or you're bad or all that sort of stuff. Whereas really, there's the fear of, I'm going to take this idea that's mine, and I'm going to give it to the world. I'm going to say, this is me. This is my thing.
Right.
And the world sometimes might be like, we don't like your thing. But you have to do that and then do it again and then do it again.
Yeah.
You know? And that also is scary. Even if everything is perfect with this, you know, you still have that thing of like, you have to then take it and sort of throw it out there and let it swim.
There will be people
know?
That hate this.
Of course.
They'll be like, this whatever. Is too yeah. weird and disturbed. I don't like this.
Taste is right. subjective.
But right. then that's what I'm good. Oh, good. It is disturbing. Oh, it is weird. That's exactly what I wanted.
Right.
Like, so
right.
that's fine too. If someone's like, no, not for me. I don't like it. Good. I've reached what I wanted to sure. reach with this film.
Right. Yeah. But in that, you have to be okay with the idea that a lot of people are going to say, no, that was the wrong answer. That was not correct.
Yeah.
That's not what, and just be like, no. This is my thing.
Yeah.
Like it or, you know.
And this is kind of still on the same topic, but a little off. But there was a lot of times Cameron and Tommy and I would be like, well, we don't want to spoon feed the audience.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes people might be like, wait a second, what? But we're like, no, people will understand what this is. And this is the choice. This is how we're going to show this. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to do.
Right.
You know, we don't want to spoon feed you because that's too easy. Like, think a little bit.
Right.
And so people might not like that too. And that might be the quote unquote wrong answer. But for us, we're like, yep.
And I do feel, if nothing else, like sometimes you see little indie things and it's a lot of very slow thinking about stuff.
Sure.
This is not that. You will be excited yes. while you're watching this. Even if you get to the end and you're like, oh my God, I hated that.
Right.
Like, what? You know, yes. it's going to move quickly.
Well, right. that's the beginner's curse is that you don't know how to edit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
you,
because every precious little moment, right?
Everything. And yeah you want to, I've prepared 18 hours of material. So we're going to have an 18-hour podcast.
Right.
You know. And yeah. one of the things that I'm not good at, especially on our podcast, is editing myself. And we go a little too long, but we just get so into the discussion
right.
that you hope yeah. the people follow through on that.
Right.
So yeah.
Well, so with this, so there's also a little curve with short films is that you have to tell a story within a 15 to 30 minute period. I mean, a short can be anywhere from what, 15 seconds to 45 minutes, I think is like a short.
Technically the boundaries of it. Yeah.
Right. It's.
And it also depends on different film festivals. There are certain ones where it's like, if you can't fit a slot and they're going to put seven of about the same length things together, then they might overlook it even if they love it, just because, oh, well, it doesn't fit the way we're blocking everything.
Right.
So, yeah.
So we have to tell this story. It does move fast. It's very quick because it's a short, right? And so mm-hmm. we have to make sure we get all these points across, which sometimes short films fail to do. It's like, what? How did that happen like that? Because I don't understand why that happened all of a sudden.
Right.
Because there's not enough time to tell that tale. But our goal then with this, so what we will do after this is done in film festivals and it premieres at Flix Brewhouse and we'll have DVD copies is to make it into a feature. And after the feature is, you know, in that feature will be maybe more character development, more backstory. But we did a damn good job of telling a complete story within a 15 to 30 minute period. And I'm really proud about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Yay. Cheers.
Well, don't break your arm patting yourself on the back.
Oh.
Sorry. I'm just so excited.
I can tell. Yeah. I mean, and it's exciting as someone who has been around you for the last 2-3 months.
Yeah.
And this has been a huge part of what you've been working on. And knowing how excited you were and how much you wanted this to work, it is so great to sit here and you be excited about
it. Thank you.
Because it's, you know, the worst thing in the world is when somebody's very excited about their project and they're like, yeah.
Right. Yeah. It happened. Yeah.
Yeah. There have been plenty of times. Well, one of the things when I'm doing makeup
stuff.
Plenty
of movies you worked on.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, when you're working on like big effects things, it's like you're hoping it's good. What
right.
I heard for effects movies, if you're working in animation, is you're probably getting one good movie out of 10.
Right.
But they're not your films. But when it's something that I've put on somebody's face where I've done the effects, like then I feel like it's my responsibility. And there's plenty of times where I'm like, the director's happy. Everybody's happy. They're going. I'm like, great. And then somebody who's a friend of mine comes over and they're like, what do you think of it? And I was like, there's about 17 things I don't like, but nobody's noticing them and it's going to be fine from that angle.
Right.
Don't tell anybody. I'm just going to freak out over here by myself, you know?
Yeah.
How many people did you have to hire for this?
So because I was funding it, I wanted to keep it as small as possible because
right?
people's day mm-hmm. rates aren't always the cheapest.
Yeah.
So I knew that I needed... I think the first person I actually asked to come on board was Tommy,
mm-hmm.
who directed New World, a short film that I did like a year and a half ago last year. And I like how Cameron said earlier, Tommy is an actor's director.
Mm-hmm.
He can get you to a space that you need to be to pull off an emotion, a character or whatever. And this is a...
Explain that. Because I don't know what you're talking about.
An actor's director?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what does somebody have to do to help you get
sure.
an emotion?
Sure. So, for instance, in New World... Well, I can use Hold Your Breath.
Sure.
My character has had something happen to her, and she hasn't really fully recovered, right?
Right.
So she uses this pool as...
Sort of her sanctuary.
Therapy. Yeah, my sanctuary.
Right.
So at the beginning of a shoot, Tommy would come and be like, hey, Emily, let's do some character work. And I'd be like, okay. So we'd sit down just across the table like you and I are right now. And he would start, how are you today? I'm okay. You know, like at first it's kind of like, well,
sure.
I'm me. I've had a great day. Like I'm excited to shoot. But then he'll slowly work you into your character and ask you questions specifically about your character. You know, how long do you think you'll be in the pool tonight? Oh, well... usually I'm in that pool, you know, a couple hours meditating, you know, whatever. And he'll like bring you to get to that point. And so in for New World, there was a point when I had like a little breakdown about what was going on in my life. And I remember he took me aside and started asking me these questions. And I remember I was just like so sad, like emotional. And I like did the scene and I was crying in the scene or whatever. And I knew that I needed that for something as intense as Hold Your Breath was.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately was like, Tommy, now I went off topic. Oh, how many people? So then Cameron, I bounced these ideas around with Cameron and I knew I wanted him for makeup because he's a genius. And then also when the blood and stuff came in, I was like, yeah, because
no.
Cameron could do the blood and the effects and all that. And then he helped me write it. We, you know, co-wrote it. So that was like three people in one. I have a co-director, I have a makeup effects, and I have... like a guy to help me write,
mm-hmm.
you know, make the story what it is. So then we needed someone to film We needed, so I hired Jordan, who I met on the movie, who is fantastic. She's absolutely incredible.
She's like a prodigy. I mean, she's like,
she's 22 years old.
Yeah, she's 22 years old. But she's like, I knew her and I liked her, but she wasn't really able to get to her full potential on the other project that we were on. And Emily like was like, I love Jordan. And I was like, I do too. But I hadn't actually seen her work. And then Emily sent me a reel. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're totally using her.
Incredible. Yeah. So I knew I wanted her. And then Tim, our sound guy, boom guy, I just loved him.
Well, also Tim was just working on like Whale Wars, I think. So it's like our movie takes place in a pool. There's lots of splashing. There's lots of complicated things with water and sound. Yes. So not only is Tim talented, but he's dealt with the exact problems that we're going to have.
Sure. Right.
So,
and he's just talented too. Also worked on a lot of like great, well-known things. And he's such a nice guy. And everyone, Jordan, Tim, Cameron, Tommy, super professional. Like, sure. I don't want someone coming here. It's not my house. It's my aunt and uncle's house. I don't want someone traipsing in, I'm making a movie, you know, on a film set, whatever. Mm-hmm. So then I asked my cousin, Rachel, my younger cousin, Rachel, who plays Rachel in the film, to play that character. I wrote the character, and after I wrote it, I was like, I know she can pull it off. She'll be great. So we used her, and then our masked man, I just did an open audition on IMDb, you know, put out the casting call. Hundreds of people submitted, and Alex was actually the second person that submitted. And I remember I watched the reel. I sent it immediately to Cameron, like, look at this. This is it. I watched, I don't know, maybe 50 to 60 other ones, and I was like, no, not what it is.
He has a look.
Exactly.
Yes. He's got a look.
Because that's sort of the thing, and this is
like, I saw his Facebook page, and I was like, that guy has a look.
Yeah.
That's the right choice.
Right. Because it's almost like you want a good, you know, a talented person and all that, which Alex is, but also it's like, I think about, we're looking for a different look, but I think about the main character in Mr. Robot, if you watch that show. That actor has a look.
Right.
And there's a weirdness to that actor that they needed for that role. And we needed to find a particular look for this role, which was going to be a little bit complicated to find, you know?
Because at first, the masked man role had no lines at all. So we weren't looking.
Yeah,
we weren't looking for like someone's voice. We were just looking for character acting. How well can you act? I don't care about. And that's something that funny. So I hired a limo with champagne to pick everyone up from the airport, right? Because let's have a great time, right? The woohoo.
Let's pause right there.
Okay.
I need everyone to go.
Is that video?
It's on my Instagram.
I need you to go to Emily's Instagram at It's Emily Sweet. And it's spelled like you think it is. And I need you to watch this video of Emily opening the champagne.
Cameron's there too.
Yes, I'm filming.
But nobody notices Cameron because Emily, it is Emily in a nutshell. I must have watched it a dozen times because it is both simultaneously adorable and hilarious.
Yes.
Because there's 15 facial expressions that take place in this 10-second clip of her opening the champagne. It goes everywhere, and apparently you guys had to soak it up with your butts.
Oh, yeah.
Sure did.
Well, you weren't watching me, but my last face is, ooh, because it's all over me. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, she finally got it up. What the heck?
She's struggling with it. She gets it. She's like, yay, I got, oh, no.
Yes, everywhere.
It's really amazing. Oh, yes. So please, go to at Emily, it's Emily Sweet.
Yes, ad watch all the nine yards. So anyway, so I was having a side conversation with Alex, and he was like, you know, you've never even heard my voice before. Like, I could have had a Mickey Mouse voice. Because now Alex has lines in the film.
Yeah,
he has a very significant role. I mean, that was always a significant role, but with lines and whatever. I mean, it was fine. Cam and I said he was exactly how we imagine him to be, you know, and he pulled it off great. But yeah, it's just so funny that at first when I saw, well, he also had an underwater scene in his reel when he was underwater, and I was like, great.
And he has a stunt background, which is very helpful.
Stunt background,
there's some violence in the film and all that kind of stuff.
So he was the perfect person. It wasn't until later, I had a lot of wine sitting right where Cameron is. We were going back and forth. I still hadn't looked at my lines, even though I had wrote it with Cameron. Like, I knew the lines, but I hadn't had time to work on them. Right. But every time I tried, something else was going on. Cameron and I, for, I don't know, a two-week period, were constantly on the phone. I don't know either.
Oh my
trying
God.
To figure out everything.
We had, because one of the things we
neither of us really have spent a ton of time in this business producing before this. Mm-hmm. So we were sort of like...
It's my first time. I just shown up and acted. Right. And left.
Yeah. So we were sort of like, in terms of the solving the problems, boots on the ground sort of thing, we were just trying to sort of like co-produce it in the sense of like, this ship can't sink.
Right.
Like, we put too much into it. We care too much. It cannot sink. So you're going into it with that mindset of like, this will not, cannot fail. But every day for about 2 weeks, it was a new thing where I'm like, oh my God.
I would, oh my God. I would have a short snap exchange with Emily, and immediately, as soon as we were done, I'd say a prayer.
Well, because, I love you so much.
I could just, you could, because having, you know, like earlier in the month, earlier in April, you're like, hey, yeah, I love it. And then by that last week, you're like, I don't know how I'm ever going to make it. I'm drinking every day.
Oh my God, the stock in wine must have just shot up because I bought I don't know how many bottles.
I was like, hey, we're all going out to the comedy show. If you want to come out and eat sushi. She's like, I have to stay home. People are coming in. I have to clean my house.
I need to finish. Right. So,
So how did you, because we never really got into it, like leading up to it, and I'll jump back to where we were heading, like while we're on the subject. How do you deal with the panic situations? Because there were several, and we don't have to get into what they were, but there were several moments, especially in the couple weeks leading up, where things didn't go the way that you thought, and people flaked, or this or that happened. I mean, how do you deal with that kind of stuff?
I mean, I probably didn't handle it as well. Now that this has happened, I think I know how I would handle it the next time if something like this happens. Sure. I by no means did I ever get drunk, but I definitely would have a glass of wine.
Sure.
And I would call Cameron. Cameron was my backbone in this whole thing, honest to God. I would call him in a complete panic, crying, screaming, yelling, whatever. And Cameron would be like, okay, we'll figure it out. Like,
right.
We'll figure it out. I got through it. Obviously, I just had to keep thinking the end result, the end result, the end result. It will be fine. We have no other choice but to figure it out. So what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Even down to the point of, can I tell the contact story?
Yeah.
That's not going to give anything away. Okay.
Yeah.
I had ordered these specific effects contacts.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks in advance.
Long enough, you'd have thought.
Long enough, you would have thought. So I finally was able to track it, and I was like, oh, it comes on the last day.
So I completely switched the schedule. The schedule was never the same from day to day. It was
never.
Like, we had worked it out, like, we're going to shoot this first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. Every single day, I would wake up, something would explode, and it would be like, well, now the fourth day is the third day, and the third day is the whatever. And within it, every day, you have less cards you can move, right?
Yeah.
And so we're about halfway through, and Emily's like, we're going to get the things on the last day. And I was like, well.
Okay, let's switch this.
All right, this goes here, this goes there. We're shooting on the last day. Boom,
you can use
five.
Your contacts. Yep. Woohoo, get to use the contacts.
Right.
So then I forgot that we're filming nights into mornings.
Right.
So our last day is not the 26th. Our last night is the 25th into the morning of the 26th.
Right.
And I was like, the contacts. We need to use the contacts.
So we wrapped, and the contacts arrived at the front door.
Yeah, right as soon as we finished filming. Oh, guess what showed up at my front door? The contacts. Yeah. So instead, I was like, well, the idea with the contacts was too good. I was like, Cam, we have to do something to manipulate the contacts. So I just took red food coloring and would just bing
in your eye,
bing right into my eyes.
Did it hurt?
No.
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 Did it work?
Yeah.
I look creepy as fuck.
It totally did what we wanted. I mean, it's different. It's different than what we'd have gotten if we used the contacts.
It's a different look, for sure.
But it totally works. I'm very happy with it. I have no regrets that we ended up with that versus the contacts. But that was, I would say, probably the one thing. Everything else that made us rearrange the schedule, all these sort of things, it worked out. Like, we were able to jump those hurdles. The contacts were the one thing where it was just like, well, it's actually a day late.
That was a minor hurdle. Totally minor. That was like the littlest hurdle.
That doesn't sink the ship. The other things, like some of the other things would have sank the ship.
Yes.
So,
And I think that you probably thought you were freaking out, but like in the little moments that we talked, I was like, eh, she's good.
Oh, like, thank you.
It seemed, you know, you were panicked, but you'll get this figured out. And there are plenty of people that, you know, anytime you just face one of those situations, like people, I think in life, this is a life lesson. You go, well, I'm fucked.
Well,
but if you just start reaching out and, you know, if you're a resourceful person, then you can find what you need.
That was the thing. It was like, well, this is still happening no matter what.
Right.
So I'll figure it out. Like, we figured out all A, B, C. Okay, here's D. Well, we'll figure that out too.
And I feel like this was another thing. I mean, I'm very glad that we like sync up creatively, but also as this production stuff, it worked out very well where it's like Emily is extremely efficient. She can get ton of things done in a day. Like, and so she was around. She had like all the neighborhood. We had to put Halloween decorations on a neighborhood of people we didn't know. All this sort of stuff. Like all that stuff was like happening way faster than I could have done it. And then fortunately for me, it's like, if I get this, like your entire shoot is going to get canceled if you don't solve this problem. It's like, my emotion just sort of like floats into my toes. It's not there anymore. And so I can be like, oh, well, let me think of 10 things. But I can't think of 10 things. And so it's like all this stuff would get done because of Emily. And then when there was a freak out moment, it was like I would be calm. And I was like, okay, and then we'd solve that. And then we'd go back. And so it was like it really felt like a very good sort of tennis match tag team back and forth.
And I think that goes back to proof of performance. You just at a certain point, you know, especially next time, like you said, next time I know how to react and I know that it will be okay.
Right. I know the hurdles we need to do and what not to do and where to go and where not to go and all of that.
Yeah. And I don't think either of us even ever wanted to produce. It was just simply that was a hurdle we had to jump to make the thing. I wanted to direct and I wanted to do the gore and you wanted to be in it and you wanted to write.
And I knew like it wouldn't happen if I didn't have the money. Like, who else is gonna have the money for so I knew like, okay, well, that is a producing title, like I guess if I'm gonna hire, like, this is my story, I gotta hire all these people, okay, then this is the role that I have and it's different and I've never done it before. But okay, so to jump back, I do want to give everyone credit on the film. I don't want to run out of time. So I know you were saying, who did you hire? And I do want to give everyone credit. One of the nights that I was panicked, not learning my lines, I think it was the night that you wanted me to go to the comedy show, I was drinking my wine. A stunt coordinator, his name is Malik, had happened to post his stunt reel on a indie page that I have, a filmmaking page that I have. And I quickly looked at it and I was like, this could be good.
That was a great thing you did, bringing that in. Yeah.
Right. So I wrote to him. He lived in Canada. And I was like, I don't know about flights. Flights might be too expensive. I'm already $2,000 over budget. Like, I don't know if I can do this, but what's your day right? What do you want? And it just so happened that he was like, well, I want this and this, and that's all I need. And I was like, so I called Kieran. I was like, okay, this is what he wants. Do we do it? Do we not? Do we do it? Do we not? And we were like, let's do it. And he was a great help for our fight scene.
He was, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, giving shout outs, somebody that like, so I, when I was jumping into like some of these production hurdles and it's not my job at all, it was like, have this production friend of mine, Alyssa Rarenbeck, and she was like helping me solve these problems. And I was like, all the stuff that we were dealing with, I was like, she produces all the time. And then she basically was like, well, I used to work in indie. And I'm like, what? And so we needed a gaffer. We had lost the people we thought we were going to have. We needed a gaffer. And she like called five people.
Instead of pool electricity, we need a gaffer.
So all of a sudden it was like,
a gaffer does what?
Head electrician.
Yeah, so gaffer is like, it's basically the person who handles lighting and electricity. So all the lights in film and making sure that the power works, that can either mean we're going to drop stuff into water and we don't want people to get electrocuted, or we're going to put a ton of lights into the circuitry of a house and we don't want the house to just like go out.
Emily messaged me. She's like, I need a gaffer. Do you know a gaffer? I was like, let me Google gaffer first.
But within 45 minutes, it was like all of a sudden we had this gaffer. John, how do you pronounce John's last name?
Whackum.
Whackum. Yeah. So we had John, and he was, not only was he a gaffer, but we learned he knew set construction, all this sort of stuff. So he was able to build all those things.
He had a jib for us too, though. A jib is a crane that we were looking for. Like, he was a six deal package or something.
That's
like,
awesome.
He was a complete godsend. And if I hadn't been like getting help from people in Portland being like, guys, I'm almost underwater, help me out.
Yeah.
We would never found him.
Right.
And all that. Yeah.
My managers, Paula and Sarah Goldstein, Lenny Goldstein and Sarah Goldstein, they came down and helped with BTS behind the scenes photos, with first AC, with continuity. Their friends, David and Alejandro, they came down and, you know, took some promo photos for us.
Morgan was great. Yeah.
Morgan was great.
She came in as our assistant camera person. You call him AC on set, but
You know, oh my gosh. I mean, my aunt and uncle's neighbor who let us use their house to film, the people, the community of Arden, and, you know, close to Broad Ripple who let us use their house. I mean, Miss Laura Phillips who let us borrow her Halloween decorations. I mean, there is just so many people that went into this film. But I guess on set, that was the majority of people we had on set, right?
That is. And one thing I want to say is that a lot of times in a bigger budget thing, everybody can do just their job. You're doing just makeup. You're doing just gaffer, whatever. We were doing three or four jobs. ourselves, but we sort of asked everybody else to do other things. So it was like John was hired to do, like, for example, the lighting and electricity, and we made him build stuff, which was mm-hmm. not his job, but he was happy to do it. And we, everybody really contributed going above and beyond there. Yeah, so it was a great team.
And I always recommend, if you're starting out and you want to get experience, work on something small. I started out at the lowest rated AM station in Indianapolis in 2004. I worked there for 4 years, and because there was no staff and it was Scott Manning and I, I got so much great experience being the station for 4 years. Because, and so now that I'm at a place where I have one very specific role, I can weigh in and be an asset and help me get the job that I have now because I had that experience.
Right.
You know, my ability to help small businesses market is directly related to my ability to produce Saturday shows for people that had bought an hour of time on the local radio station 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so when you get hired on a something small, or you sit there, a lot of young people, if you're a young person listening, you think, oh, I'm never going to make it. I'm never going anywhere. I'm 23. I'm at this podunk little station. I'm doing this. When is this going to happen for me? And you get all frustrated about being small and starting small and being in a hurry and not realizing this is the best opportunity that you could possibly have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because when you're our age in your 30s, you're going to have the reps.
Right.
You're going to have the reps to really succeed.
Well, and you never know who you'll meet also. Like when I did New World, I was able to use that to get thin. You know what I mean? Like I was able to, I mean, and a lot of other things too, the movie, you know, whatever.
Right.
Like, and that was just another short, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not like this huge, big budget, whatever. I did Mount Adams. I met Cameron. I met Jordan. I met Tim. I met all these mm-hmm. other friends. Like, you just never know who you're going to meet and how they can help you. Like, Tony, Tony is the creator of Sin, the TV show that I'm on. She cast me. She wrote it. She's doing 1,000 hats for that. She lent us a lot of equipment. Like,
she did.
Amazing. I cannot thank her enough for mm-hmm. everything that she's done. But because that I know her, if I didn't know her, we would have been maybe $5,000 over budget, like with everything that we need. Like she helped us out so much. And so you always want to be thankful. You always want to be humble. You always want to be appreciative of what people can bring to the table.
Yeah.
John, his lights, his experience of gaffing, his building, his, you know what I mean? All these people just...
Yeah,
because we're so lucky.
If you're doing a micro budget thing, which essentially is what this is, you have to call on your friends, and you also have to do it. You have to do it in a way that's not dickish, which is sort of hard too, because you can't just be smoozing off of everybody's goodwill and free time and free stuff. But you also like you kind of, if you're in an industry and you're working with other professionals, it's like, guys, I need this to do my thing, and then it's that thing where it's like you're hoping that it's a give and take, and that you help them and they help you.
The other thing is, I think people sometimes are afraid to ask because I don't want to bother them,
right?
Because it's our own insecurities, our own.
Yeah, how to get over that real quick?
Yeah, I did too. Yeah,
yeah, it's our own self consciousness. Like, you know, when Emily being my co-host, that first episode, the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, this is the person I've been looking for to help co-host this podcast, to move this in the direction. She is exactly what I was looking for.
Thank you.
Yeah. And like, and so afterwards I'm sitting there and I'm take a beat and I'm just staring at her and I'm like, man, I don't know her and I don't really want to bother her with this podcast. And like, I don't
want. Yeah. But then you did. And I was like, yeah, I would love to.
Exactly. And like, so the first week she's like, I put it on my Instagram. I'm like, oh, thank God. She actually wants to do this and I'm not bothering her. Yeah, and so sometimes you think, like, I'm going to bother somebody with my project, but a lot of times they're going, this is so much fun. This is exactly what I want to do. This is, mm-hmm. you know, this is going to give me an experience or skills or a credit or whatever. And so you can't be insecure if you're going to be in the creative industry.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I know, like, there were times that we ended up sorting out a lot of this stuff a different way, but it's like there was a time when I was looking around Portland just talking to everybody about, like, I need pieces of gear. And I sort of... You know, because we had to solve this problem, we had to solve it right away, I couldn't be shy about it. And I couldn't be like, oh, I don't know. So I just like sending all these messages. And I was extremely grateful for the amount of people that wrote back and were like, anything I have. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and that sort of thing. Yeah. You really do form these bonds by being in the trenches with these people. And, you know, it's very.
Let me amend my statement. Everybody is completely insecure, especially in the creative industry. You just have to learn how to manage that.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
And get over it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, what was I going to say after that? I don't remember. Never mind.
We'll wait.
Tick tock.
No, so you pick everybody up at the airport, and the day has finally arrived. You were very excited.
Christmas morning.
Yeah.
Christmas morning. So Cam came in the day before everyone else. just because he was in the thick of it with me for the majority. Yeah. Everyone, of course, was in the thick of it, right? But he was there. And so it just made the most sense to be like, okay, before everyone comes in, let's go through all of these lists and make sure everything's here before everyone comes in.
Right.
But I remember waking up that day and being like, it's Christmas morning, Cameron, shaking him. It's here. It's finally here. Like, so excited. Then, yeah. And so then also, you know, I've arrived on set. People will pick me up from the airport. It's been fine. You know, whatever. Yeah. I arrive on set. But I was like, no. So Cameron and I own Darling Studios, which is producing this, you know, based out of here in Indianapolis and then also in Portland, Oregon. We have a couple of other ideas that we're doing after Hold Your Breath and whatever. But I was like, this is how I want to run things. This is how I want everyone to know they're appreciated. I want it to be fun. I want it to be calm and cool and relaxed. A limo with champagne to toast to like a great thing that we have here. You know what I mean? That's like how I want to run things.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't, you know what I mean? Why not? I don't know. So yes, I picked everyone. I don't know where you're going with that, but I wanted to.
Yes, we picked everyone up in the limo, which is where we had an incident with the champagne. And we're looking up the driver like, oh my God, because we're looking at the seats, champagne everywhere.
Everywhere. Puddles.
Right. And we couldn't find it.
Of course.
The surprise was a wet ass.
There were napkins, which we found about 20 minutes later. But until that point, I sort of had accidentally soaked up about half of it with my butt. And then Emily volunteered her butt to soak up the rest.
Yeah, I was like, I have black pants on. You don't. Let me just get in here. Wipe this up. So I'm sure it reeked like booze when people got into the limo. But, you know.
Yeah, they still seemed appreciative.
So now you have the chaos of the set and everything starts going. I mean, does it immediately just start clicking? Or is it like, is it constant problems and chaos?
This shoot was a little different. You always run into problems on a set. You're always over budget. There's always a problem. There's always something that's going awry. I think this was it went awry a little more than we had expected it to, but it still was fun. It still was enjoyable.
And I don't think most people other than you and me really dealt with the awry part. So it was like by the time we got to set.
And we wanted it to be that way.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We didn't want anyone to see behind the curtain.
No.
Continue, sorry.
So by the time we got to set, it was like we had solved those days' problems. So people would arrive. Maybe their call time moved an hour. Weird. Don't worry about it. And then we would shoot from about sundown until sometime in the wee hour of the morning, depending on how long that day was.
4 to 6.
4 to 6, yeah. And so during that period of time, it was fun. I know I felt a bit overwhelmed just because of the different jobs that I was doing. Because it's like we had people helping out with Scripty is our script supervisor, sort of a role where it's like you're keeping track of what you shot, what you haven't, what people's lines are, that sort
continuity.
Of thing.
Continuity.
Yeah.
So we how long the scene is.
Right. So we had that for some of the days, but not every day. And then it was like, so when that didn't happen, that sort of fell back to me. And then when
continuity again, like you're shooting over 5 days, you want and this encapsulates a 20-minute scene.
Right.
You want to make sure that the things that you shoot on day one and day five all look like the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're not, you know, one day wearing a black bathing suit and the next day wearing a pink bathing suit. Yeah. You're wearing the same bathing suit.
I have bangs one day, bangs not the other.
Right. That's what continuity means.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, so if somebody has like a bruise on their forehead, it stays in the same spot. If somebody's hair is a certain way, all that kind of stuff. But also like, you know, what's my line? And I was like, I don't know. I've got blood cups in my hand because I'm doing, you know. So there were definitely points in the wee hour of the morning where I was kind of like spinning, going like, am I? Because I'd also try to be assistant director. You'd think that's the assistant to the director, but it's more like usually that's the person who is like, guys, we're behind schedule. We need to go.
Yeah.
Which we also didn't have.
Right.
And so we had, because we had a minor on set, that we had some out deadlines where we had to get a person wrapped by a particular time of night. And so that was sort of also me. So on the one hand, I'm trying to be.
That's
like,
Bandito.
That's my dog. Oh, Bandito. I'm so sorry.
On the one hand, I'm trying to get like the perfect thing from a director perspective where you shouldn't care about anything else than I'm getting this shot.
Sure.
On the other hand, I have to be like, and we need it in 5 minutes. We need to be out. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it was like, yeah.
And I did feel bad for Cameron because I acted in it. So once I was in the pool, I was acting. Like, so before we would come to set, you know, we didn't sleep at all. We would make sure that everything, I would run back and forth to do whatever. But then once I was filming, Cameron was kind of not on his own. Obviously, there's other people to help, but
your focus has to be elsewhere.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I had to sort of take that more of that leader cap and and make sure that the ship list.
I had
thank you, Cameron.
I had a friend's daughter that was in the movie, and so I I didn't bother you, but I was like, tell me everything. but I just said, how's everything going? She goes, it was amazing. It was so much fun. We showed up. They were so well prepared. Yeah. Emily is like the best boss ever. Aww. She's just nice. A field general directing people around. And so, you know, the people who showed up on set, I think were, at least this person was impressed with what
she
did.
Yeah, she was great. Her daughter was great. We were thankful. So I'm going to say Jennifer, she also then reached out to her friends because we needed people, trick-or-treaters, right, for this neighborhood scene. And I was like, in April, right. So you, thank you, led me to Jennifer and her daughter, Mia. And then Jennifer reached out to her friends to get more kids. And like, and I'm super appreciative of that too, that I didn't have to put out a whole brand new casting call for kids. Right. Like she took it upon herself to be like, no, I got a lot of acting friends. Like, no problem. So yeah. Jennifer, if you're listening, thank you so much.
Is Miranda going to make a cameo?
Oh, she and Joey made a cameo.
In one of those things where we had to call her at the last minute and say, you need to come about 2 hours earlier.
Yes.
And she did, like on a dime, was right.
Seriously?
There.
Seriously?
She did.
Miranda,
I know.
Miranda of
Thank
Miranda's
you, Miranda,
world.
I love you.
Miranda Barnett showed up 2 hours early and on time.
Yes.
Well, to be fair,
how much of this have you had?
Hey,
because we're not talking about the same Miranda. Miranda and I were supposed to have a podcast 3 times the last 2 weeks.
Well, I will
never
say,
heard a word.
I will say, as the person who only met Miranda for this one time, we had a contingency in case Miranda did not show up. However, I arrived on set. Miranda showed up, and we said, "You stand here." She did exactly what we needed. Thank you, Miranda.
Yes.
I believe in you.
So, right. What ended up happening was I called my friend Desmond and was like, Des, we've had this freak thing happened. We have to shoot now 2 hours ahead of time. I told Miranda and Joey. They said they're going to try to do it. I don't know if they can. I need you to come. And so, like, I whipped up this Halloween costume that I had. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm going to come on set with you. But we had to cheat it so you didn't know it was me. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But then, yeah, Miranda
the star of the
Joey,
film was going to be in the background.
Far, far background. Right. So, right, we had to make sure that.
And I'm not going to say what Miranda was dressed as, but.
Awesome.
It was the, there was a snap, and I laughed so hard at it. And she sent out a snap of you and her together, and it just said, thank you for letting me be a hoe in your movie. XOXO.
I wouldn't have had it any other way, Miranda.
And I would say the prelim to that thing was probably as close as I ever got to losing it. Because like there was a point when Emily called me and I just remember just sort of being like all this stuff. And it's like normally it was like I was supposed to be the calm one.
Right.
I was but not that day.
I called and I was like, I can't be calm anymore. You have to be calm on my behalf.
Okay, so filming wraps, and now you have, I mean, people probably don't understand, how many hours of footage would you say you have?
We shot 10 to 12 hours a day.
Wow.
Right, so it's like, and so I can't give the answer on how much hours of footage we have, but I can say that we have close to 2 terabytes of footage.
Okay. And that's a lot of footage.
That's a lot. And so what Emily and I are doing right now is we're just kind of going through all of them. Some of them are takes that just completely don't work. Some are things where it's like, we like this section, but we don't like this section. And just sort of cataloging it all.
Yes.
Now, again, bigger productions, that's all done as you shoot it. But we, with our small team, and also with Emily being in the pool, it's like there would be key scenes where we'd make sure that Emily got to see it before we moved on.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's like we have to go find our selects is like the take that we like out of all of it. We had to go find that now after
so
we're done.
So literally we were sitting at the computer table. I have my notebook. Okay, this is scene 5A, take 1. We like second 33 to second 35. We don't like anything else.
Sure.
We would watch the whole 5-minute clip. We don't like anything in that.
Right.
We would like seconds here to here, not here. Oh, but this could work. This is an alternate. Oh, but we like this. So that is now the alternate and we like this better. I mean, it takes forever.
It takes forever. And how long do you think that process is going to take total?
Well, I mean, we're being a bit lazy about it because we worked so hard last week. But I feel like we'll have that done over the course of this week.
Sure.
And that's just cataloging. You're not really into editing yet, but just cataloging stuff because it is only, you know, it is still a short film. I think we'll be able to get that done this week.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And then once you get to editing, then you take all those and you hand it off to somebody and they're going to edit. And that's
Cameron is also taking on the editor position. Here's something else too, though, is that at first I was like, no, I want it to stay here. I need to see it being edited. I want to make sure. But Cameron has proven time after time that we have the same mind of how we want this to look. So he's going to do a rough, he's taking it back to Portland, after this week or whatever. Gonna put a rough edit together. Mm-hmm. Show it to me. We'll make our notes, whatever. But so Cameron is editing. But then it's like, okay, then you have to edit. Then you got to put sound. Then you got to color correct. Then you got to do this.
Yeah, so we have there's a lot of steps before it's done. Jordan, who was our director of photography, is going to do the color correction for us. And color correction is like, you might shoot things different nights, different times, and maybe something's going to end up a little bit more blue or a little bit more red, and they kind of bring it all into line.
It's the same thing as continuity that we discussed earlier.
Yes. It is. It is. It's, yeah, it's continuity with with sort of a sparkle of end for prettiness, mm-hmm. this, you know?
Because for the listeners, you shoot something flat, and then you go in and you just, to be very simplistic, you adjust the levels of brightness, of contrast, of hue, of all these different things. So,
yes. Yeah.
And you make it all the same.
Yeah.
But pretty.
Right. But Cameron has the extra job of, there should have been blood there. There's not. How are we going to fix that problem? Yeah.
Right. So we probably are, sort of partially because we kind of lost all of our padding in our schedule on the first day when we wrapped at noon.
2 o'clock a.m.
2 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Not noon. I wish noon.
Wrapped at midday. Our day. There may be a few pickups that we need, as few as possible, and we'll figure it out. But yeah, it is sort of that thing where it's like we were down to the wire getting everything.
Explain pickup.
So pickups are almost every major motion picture you have, you'll hear about pickups, which is basically they shot everything they thought they needed. They went through the editing process and then they realized, oh, we need this little scene, this other thing. And so it's part of the standard filmmaking process that you go back and you pick those up later. As opposed to trying to shoot enough that you made sure you got every possible contingency before you edit it.
So but how would you do that if, you know, are you going to have your uncle get in the pool with you with a handy cam?
Have to fly everyone back.
And it would depend on like most of the stuff that we've identified right now. It's close-ups. And so it's like, it could be cheated. So right. You look at like, what's the minimal thing you'd need. So it's like, if they're just inserts of a close-up of this object or somebody's eyes, then we need Jordan because she ran the camera, and we need me because I'm pointing at what we need, and we need Emily if it's her eyes, for example. Mm-hmm. But that's all we would need. So we'd have a smaller crew. Now, if somebody says a line, that hasn't come up yet, but then we need Tim. You know, and so it's like it sort of could expand, but you try to keep it as small as possible.
Sure.
Yeah, Tim is our sound guy. And so, but outside of that, it's taking all the pieces we have and putting them together. And there's going to be a little bit of compositing. We're going to pull in some digital stuff, but I want to keep that so minimal.
So minimal.
Everybody, there's a soapbox here for anybody who's into film. You go online, you find all of this like use practical effects versus digital effects. Because I've used digital effects, I'm very much use practical whenever you can. It looks better. Mm-hmm. So
it does. Yeah. So then I'm also like, okay, well, if we have to do these pickups, well, we might as well just then write down everything that we would like to do, mm-hmm. and have people come back and actually do it.
Yeah.
Right.
But and if I we don't have like, to, great. But if we have to, then...
I think that there's right now 2 or 3 things that we probably need, but they could keep the crew very micro, and we wouldn't need everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I might end up doing 2 versions of the edit. One that's like, here's the best version with everything we've got, and one where there's a drawing.
Sure.
Here's what we could do if we put this here, and then we'll see. Yeah.
Your animated storyboards have been, usually people just like, you know, here's a picture, but because Cameron has an animator background, animated these beautiful storyboards.
They look amazing.
Yeah.
This is also a thing where my OCD got a little bit away from me because like I didn't have because we ended up doing all of this producing stuff, I didn't have the time to do storyboards that I expected to have. So when I started out, I was so meticulous. And then it gets down to a sphere with eyes kind of looking this way and just an arrow. Like the degradation. Like if you see the opening sequence, it's like this drawing of Emily is practically walking into the pool.
Yeah,
and then we get to later and it's just sort of like a circle and a pointing thing. And it's like,
it works and you get it. So if he adds that in one of the edits, great. Yeah, we'll know what he
means. Be back to the prettier version all the time.
Yeah. And I mean, I've only edited small online videos, you know, at work and for various other things. So I've never edited a movie, but I can tell you just how many times I've been sitting there, maybe this is my inexperience and lack of planning, where I just go, oh, I need like 2 more seconds of this or another shot of that. Like,
sure.
I cannot imagine when you're editing a movie how many of those little opportunities where you're going to go, I need this.
Yeah, I mean, a minute of film is... like actual film is so much footage.
It
like
is.
So many takes, yeah. So many angles, so many whatever. It's just right. Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, it's exhausting.
And my animation background helps a little bit with that because it's like you're coming at it from a very different place because you're constructing every shot. But I have a lot of years of experience dealing with like, all right, we're going to start here and then we're going to cut to here. We're going to cut to there. We're going to do this. And that's how it's going to play. So I was able to do that with this, whether or not I had done the storyboards ahead of time. If I'd done them ahead of time, it was great. It was just like, show Jordan, here's a shot. Great, shoot it. And then later it was like my weird little scribbles and that sort of thing. But because we didn't have all of those storyboards as much as I would have liked, there are moments that I missed, which is what you're talking about.
Right.
Like, I wanted this thing. I didn't quite get it. So, yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see then. And we'll talk about that over the course of the next few months, I'm sure.
Yes.
So do you have a date? Like, what's the next big goal that you guys are trying to beat?
Well,
sorry, I tried to Snapchat this, and it just got in the way. I'm not going to Snapchat it anymore. Sorry about that.
We'll do a selfie afterwards.
There we go. Yeah, so originally, because I just get too excited, I want it out now.
Right.
Now. So I originally had, like, a June release. And then I was like, well, that's not happening.
No.
So then it got pushed to July 18th at Flix Brew House. And then we were like, oh, wait. It does take place over Halloween.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe we take the time we should take to edit, to put the music to it, to color right. correct, to promote.
Yeah.
Have it when I come back. So the thing was that I leave to go film Sin August, September, October. So I'm going to be gone. And I was like, I want it to be out before then. But then I was like, you know what? I'm doing, doing the TV show. When I come back, it's October.
Yeah.
Let's have a Halloween release. It takes place over Halloween. Gives everyone the time that they need. So yeah, Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween. And cool. Emily and I are going to prioritize getting like a trailer out a lot earlier than that, of course. But then that gives like time for color correction. Mm-hmm. We have some, great sort of music that we have access to that, we have time to go through.
Oh, that is someone else. Oh yeah. My gosh, how could I even miss my dear friend Dan from my hometown? I asked him to write
such a great song.
Oh my God, I asked him to write a song. Like, would you mind that he has his own solo band? Crickets Before Math Cricket. Let me look this up. I feel really embarrassed that I don't know that off the top of my head. I'm being put on the spot and I feel badly about that. So
while you're looking that up,
the music is I've heard the song you're talking about. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I think both of us were, but speaking for me, I was really impressed because a lot of times it's like you have an idea in your head of something that you kind of want. But
sure.
Me not being terribly musical, it's like, I'm not even very good at saying like, here's exactly like directing somebody towards that. I'm just kind of like, I want something that feels like this. And like, and then you get something back and it's like, that was in my head. And this is just perfect.
Yes. Yeah. So Crickets Make Math. He just released a new album. You can download it for any amount of donation you want. So I knew Dan was super talented and I was like, hey, would you mind, doing this, whatever. I kind of gave him the broad spectrum. You didn't hear the end yet. You have not heard the final mastered.
Oh, cool.
You heard like an in-between. Do you like this? This is where you're going for.
It just keeps getting better.
It just keeps getting better. So yeah, I need to definitely, Dan Stoltzing, Crickets Make Math. Oh my God, you're amazing. Thank you so much. That's the thing too, though. It's like, I told him, this is how the movie ends. And he was like, fuck. Oh, God.
Now write something pretty.
Yeah, so I was like,
I've got to go.
Right. So I was like, so when you're making this, picture this. This is what's happening as the music starts. And he was like, dang, man, okay. Like, all right. And then he sent it back and I was like, this is exactly what I wanted.
That's great.
And, yeah. So thank you, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so you can learn more when the trailer comes out. We'll be sure to share it from our pages.
Yes, there is a Facebook page. We haven't published it yet. We just wanted a little bit more depth in it before we did. Yeah. But we'll release that Facebook page, Hold Your Breath Movie, and then our website, holdyourbreathmovie.net.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. And you can follow @itsEmilySweet.
It's Emily Sweet.
On Instagram and Twitter. And you have a Facebook page too.
My Facebook page, I think, is also It's Emily Sweet.
Okay.
And so is the Twitter.
It's a page, not your personal profile.
Right.
A page.
A page, right. Yes. Right.
And how can people follow you?
People can find me. My name is pretty much the same on Instagram, Facebook, and same as my website, which is CamGates, CamGates.com, or Instagram. It's all the same.
wording. So.
But yes, cool. Cameron with a K.
Cameron with a K. K-A-M-G-A-T-S. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, is there anything else that we missed that we didn't talk about that...
I think we covered it.
I think we covered it.
As soon as we turn it off, you know what's going to happen.
Over.
All right. Very good. So please check out their social media. Thank you for listening to this episode. Thank you to Cam for coming on.
Yes. Thank you, Cameron. Thank you for everything you've done throughout this entire process.
Oh, Emily.
We're very excited to see it. Thank you, Emily, for being my co-host.
Every time. Every love it. Every time. Yes.
And for pleasure. Hold Your Breath. And please... go to holdyourbreath.net.
Holdyourbreathmovie.net.
Holdyourbreathmovie.net. All right, very good. Thank you for joining us here in this episode of The Chris Spangle Show. If there's anything out there that you'd like to hear, you know, we Emily and I talk every once in a while about who we want to interview or what we want to talk about, and we've got a lot of ideas. But maybe there's somebody that, maybe in an industry, or let's say you want to hear from a photographer or a graphic designer or... you know, a voiceover person or whatever. If there's anything that you're interested in hearing how somebody got into that creative industry, please, editor@wearelibertarians.com. You can send me a Facebook message.
Send me an Instagram message.
Yep, send her an Instagram message. And please, let us know. We're always looking for ideas. So thank you for joining us here on this episode
Thanks,
of
guys.
The Chris Spangle Show. And please rate and review us on iTunes, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.